Thank you for family and love. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus, for, yeah. Life, that's a good one. That you can get here. That's right. You got one? Thank you, Jesus, for toys. Yes. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, anyone else? Any other rock climbers? Okay, what about anyone that's older that you get hurt if you climbed on rocks? Do you have an answer? Yeah.
Thank you for healing and forgiving of my sins.
Healing and forgiving of my sins. That's right. What else? Yeah. Being a refuge for calling me, I heard over here. What else? His continual presence. What, you mean God? Isn't that like some distant mount somewhere? Like looking down? Oh, yeah. Yeah, over here I saw a hand. For dying on the cross for us. Yeah. For giving us our lives. That's really good. Yeah. For Christian brothers and sisters. Yeah. Children. Yes, Marge. Well, what's that? Continued mercy. I know I would have thought I would have used mine up by now, but apparently not. Yeah. Teachers? Teachers, yes. People who teach. Yeah. Missionaries. That's right. For your beautiful wife, amen, right? Yeah. Schools, yes. Praising Jesus. Billy Graham, that's right, faithful servant. Yeah. Fulfilling you. Oh, music, yeah. Jesus is my teacher. We could just do this for an hour. What are you supposed to do this?
He says Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, amen. Yeah. Being able to worship him. Yeah, there may be a drive-in, you know, in heaven when you get there, Taco Bell, we'll see. Freedom, yeah. For not leaving me where I was. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, man, we could sing of your praises forever, but everyone would get hungry, so. But Lord, we love you. Gosh, could we just, if even 1% more thankful we could be, our lives would be just transformed. I heard so many wonderful and beautiful things to be thankful for. But you are our God, and you are a God that loves us and that never leaves us, never forsakes us, no matter how much we forsake you. And so we come today, come in from all of that, whatever that was this week. We come in here together with the other sojourners, the people traveling through this land where this is not our home and this is not our way. And we can catch our breath and we can be encouraged and loved and supported by our brothers and sisters, and that we could sing songs of thanks to you, Jesus, and that we could learn from your word. So I pray that anyone who's going to speak about you today, from every teacher upstairs to my own mouth, that you would give us your words through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would speak what you want us to hear, Lord, and that you would open every ear and heart and mind to receive the message that you have for them, that they would be edified, encouraged, convicted, whatever they need, Lord, because you are the God, the lover of our soul, the one who knows us and knit us together in our womb, and we are dependent on you. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, rock climbers, you guys are dismissed to go upstairs. Thanks for your help, guys. Hey, so while they're walking out, we're in the book of Acts. We're in the book of Acts, so grab your Bible, go to Acts chapter 4, last call on kids, right? Don't try to escape. Everyone's going to run when they see verses 1 through 22. Everyone's going to run scared. They're like, that's a lot of Bible, Will, for one morning. Praise the Lord. Okay, so as they're heading there, turning your Bibles, Acts 4, and if you remember, we were You know, in the last chapter, we saw this. This is kind of a continuation. Of course, these breaks are man-made, and these breaks in my sermon are hopefully where the Lord wants me to stop for that Sunday. And so I stop kind of in the middle of a story here. What happened, right? If you were here, you remember Peter and John were going to pray. And as they passed through the temple gate known as Beautiful, they saw a man who'd been lame since birth, a man who was there each day that people carried him there. And what he asked for money and support, right? The word alms that we don't really use anymore. And that day, for some reason, they stopped based on the leading of the Lord. And they said, I don't have this money or food for you, but what I do have, I can give to you. And so the Lord, through Peter and John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, healed this man who was lame since birth, and he was excited, right? We find out in this section of Scripture, he was 40 years old. So he had struggled and suffered through this for some time. I'm sure he had very little hope that his life would ever be different than that. And of course, you know, now what we're going to do is encounter the aftermath here. So there's the introduction for you. Acts 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Okay, let me pause there. There was this word that stuck out to me as I prayed. Does the word, like, meditate on the word? Does that sound kind of uncomfortable to you? Can we just, you know, let's just be honest that for some of us it is. But that's what I did. I'm looking at this, my friends, every week, coming before the Lord saying, okay, let's not just go through the motions, Lord, but teach us. We're here. We're willing, and I'm willing to go wherever you're going to lead us in this. And so, weirdly enough, greatly annoyed popped out to me. So like any good person, you want to figure out what the original language, and maybe it's something tricky about that. But no, it's annoyed. It's greatly annoyed. They were greatly annoyed. Well, first of all, is the Sadducees. What do we know about Sadducees? Other than they were sad, you see, right? Okay. Why were they sad, you see? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in life after this. So I don't know. All they cared about was the law. And I'll be honest with you, that doesn't quite make sense. If I didn't believe in life after this, I would try to make the most out of this life. Probably because they had wealth. They were known to be wealthy, affluent. They were really, 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 really focused on the written heritage, the written law. Right? They didn't like anything supernatural. Resurrection from the dead, afterlife, demons, spirits, like that's a no-go. I guess when you're kind of like Americans sometimes, they sound like Americans, right? We got all this wealth and this privilege, so I'm my own God, and I'll just end with that. So you could imagine with them talking about Jesus, this guy who this very group of people killed not too long ago, that he raised from the dead. They weren't too happy about that. They didn't see that as a possibility. So clearly, they were greatly annoyed. You guys greatly annoy anybody with your faith? Do you get greatly annoyed? Okay, confession time, guys. Confession time, you know. I get frustrated with the news. I get frustrated with Facebook. I'm like, I'm the most offensive human being, you know. I'm like, I am because of what I believe and who I am, right? The way I was born, this white, middle-class male, heterosexual Christian, I've pretty much offended the entire world now. And, you know, I might have looked at a girl wrong, so that might come up at some point in time, and they might, you know, cast me down, and, you know, right? So everything about me, offensive. And so I thought that was pretty cool that God gave us this. John 15, Jesus wanted to make sure that we knew, and he said this. John 15, 18 is where this begins. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. That's easy. That's often forgot, I think, by Christians, that truth. I think that helps, you know. The fire doesn't have to burn in me when I see some of these things. It should be expected, right? It should be expected that the world may not see everything the way that I do, because I have a view that if I was okay with everything that was going on, then that would let you know I'm subscribing to the same view as the world. What do we do with this, guys? What? Not what's supposed to happen, but what do we do with this? A lot of things, but one thing I see is we become intolerant and angry and unloving. It started when you were young. You don't like me, fine, I'm taking my ball and I'll go home, right? Well, you can't call me a poo-poo face, you're a double poo-poo face, right? We learn this very young, and so we see this and we wonder, because even me, like, man, guys, like, I am not a finished work, okay? I am not a finished work. God is not done with me yet. Like, I am not perfected. And I see this, and the problem that I witness is sometimes I try not to think like this. I try to love the world and let the world love me, because I see hatred and anger in the things that Jesus was really not about when he came here. And then I read this, and I see the brothers and sisters around me, maybe before me, sort of like, trying to cause a fight, trying to cause division, trying to be angry, but they are trying to speak truth. And so what is the balance? And so I asked the Lord about this. I'm like, Lord, what? Give me something. And this came over me, context. Context, okay. You know what it says in John 15? If you took a look at verses before 18, here's the last verse. Let me give this to you. This is my commandment, love each other. You know what he talks about? The context of this talk was all about loving others. And this is a little hard. Your posture, your approach, your perspective, it's a hard thing to talk necessarily about to give you this instruction. But I catch this as a parent, as a teacher, and as a coach. Oftentimes, I try to tell the people that I'm trying to help, like, what you say is not nearly as important as how you say it. Have you found that to be true? So where is it, guys, right now, just the very beginning of this, how is it, Lord, that we can speak in such a way that is loving yet truthful? Right? What's that? Through the Word? Through the Word? Through the Holy Spirit, maybe? Guys, I'm kind of obsessed with that right now, because I'm convinced that what you and I, most of us, didn't get that we really needed to survive in this world, and especially as things heat up, as we get closer to those last days, is the power of the Holy Spirit, and not that in which man tells you it's supposed to be, but that in which the Scripture says it is, that in which the Holy Spirit, who you can't contain, you can't control, and most of the time in the Scriptures, God told men to do things differently each time. You can't figure him out. But we need him. You want to see what following God without his own power, enabling you to follow him, looks like? Welcome to America. This is my command, love each other. And then he goes on to say, right after, if the world hates you, right? Like, it's just, it's crazy. But see, the posture is like this. It's like in 2018, it's you read the Facebook post that's hating you because of your view, and one posture is angry, and that's not true. Let me throw truth at you right in your face, right? That's not loving. What this is saying is, Jesus is like, you can almost picture him smiling like, Will, come on, man. Like, they don't get it. They're not going to get it until I show them. There's a big difference between just that smile, like, yeah, I know, Lord. So, hey. Crazy idea. You know, my wife, she's a prayer warrior, and she's reminding me of that. You pray about that, and you're always like, oh, geez, I guess that would have been the easy part, right? So Let me offer this to you. As the world hates you, how do you love the world? Pray for it. Could you? Just that simple thing. Just that simple thing, loving one another. And as you love one another, realize they might not be ready to receive it. I haven't met anyone yet who's like, well, Will, I was walking in darkness, but I came to light because someone yelled at me on the street or over Facebook or Instagram. Well, we decided to create a down thumb for Facebook, and now 4,000 people have come to faith. This is not how this works, right? I yelled at them at Harkins Theater, and now they love the Lord. This is not the way that works. Even God himself says his love is what leads us to repentance. But that's not the sermon, so let's just keep on moving. But the context of what was going on, because guys, what I long to see is what were these guys doing in Acts? And tell us, Lord, don't just have us assume we should do everything the same as they do, but don't let us on the other camp say, well, contextually in the culture, that made sense, and now it doesn't, right? You're copping out. The Holy Spirit will lead, and you can't guess where he's going to lead all the time. Is that fair? Some things, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit told me to murder my whole family. That, no, he didn't, okay? But you know there's parameters based on the scripture. However, there are certain things, like do I pray for this person now or don't I? Do I talk to them or I don't? It's not always yes or no. Today it might be yes, tomorrow it might be no. For Peter and John, they walked by day after day. This guy had been there for who knows how long, but apparently he had a whole system. Dudes picked him up, carried him, dropped him off by the gate. He got money, food, home after work, next day, bring him back out. And they went there, what, probably three times a day to pray, walking by this guy? Why that day did they heal him? Why didn't Jesus heal him when he walked by him? Because God has a way, you are not him, and you have to surrender and submit to him. That's what this was about. That's what you and I need to do that Peter and John did. Okay? Knowing that the world's going to hate us, knowing that there's opposition, but knowing our job is to love them. What was that? I'm probably going to misquote it, guys, but I heard this. Billy Graham, not to make him a hero, but a faithful servant, right? He said this. I thought that was interesting. What did he say? It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people, right? It's Jesus' job to save people, and it's my job to love people. That's what he said. And I thought, okay. But then we use our definition of love and saying, okay, everything's okay, man, universally, it's all right, whatever's good for you, man. No, that's not what he meant. He meant love them like God would love them, the patient and kind and not self-seeking and forgiving, steadfast type of love. Okay, well, I stopped there long enough. Let's go back, verse 3, Acts 4, okay? So they said this and they arrested them. This would be Peter and John. And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The word here and that, if you look at the original language, it has to refer with the testimony or story. And so they heard this story and they believed. They believed that Jesus was Lord. They believed in his power and they came to faith in him. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were there from the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? I don't know if you recognize some of those names. These are the guys that killed Jesus. I mean, it didn't say, but these guys had to be thinking, we're gone. We're goners now. So what will Peter do, who a few months back, they're like, hey, man, you're with that Nazarene. Oh, not me, dude. You got totally wrong idea. Hey, I saw you. You were with that Jesus. No, not me. You're wrong. Three times they said that, and now they've got him. What was he going to do? So once again, let me go back into the lens of the Holy Spirit. I want to see what the Holy Spirit is doing in Acts. And so we have this man, Peter, although very bold, in that moment that he hesitated, right? He hesitated. Well, he had this great redemptive time with the Lord after his resurrection, where he denied three times, and then the Lord had him confirm three times that he loved him, and he's, feed my sheep, right? This healing, this redemptive thing has happened, and now Peter is this new man who's been filled by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, who spoke boldly, who people are coming to faith in Christ. Now they've got him, the guys who killed Jesus. They got him. And they say, so they're kind of trying to give him a chance to wiggle out, right? So who exactly did you say? By what power did you guys heal this man? Because we used to see him, and now he walks. He didn't before. I don't think he was faking it for 40 years. So something's gone on here. And it says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? So let me pause there. Here it comes up again, guys. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, do you believe the Holy Spirit gives you words? Can give you words if you need it. I think it says so in the Bible. It says so in the Bible. And then Peter, the man who ran before, now stands in the face of his accusers. And that is, guys, in such a weird way, I think we long to experience this and know this more. And for me to explain it to you would not do it justice. But there is something in us, guys, that as a life, as living a life, as a follower of Christ, we have to live a life in surrender. We have to live a life that stops and invites the Holy Spirit to lead. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit can do. It can take you and I in our own power who just, we don't think we could do that, and he does this kind of stuff. So then Peter says in verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. That's pretty bold, right? Those are like getting killed words. Getting killed words. I don't know if that's a correct way to say it, but this is a reference to Psalms 118. And Psalm 118 is accredited to King David, and they believe it was written at a time when he'd experienced great victory against his enemy through God. And so I looked that up. I read it. I read a few of the translations, and then I read it in the paraphrase, the Message. I thought this was so cool. Let me share it with you. So this is basically, this is the stake in the ground. This is the flag. This is the banner that Peter's dropping right in front of their face. Because these guys, they would know this. They would know this prophecy, because this cornerstone thing came up from the prophets of old and came up in David in the Psalms. It says, thank God because he's good, because his love never quits. Tell the world, Israel, his love never quits. And you, clan of Aaron, tell the world his love never quits. And you who fear God, join in. His love never quits. Push to the wall, I call to God. From the wide open spaces, he answered. God now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? God's my strong champion. I flick off my enemies like flies. Far better to take refuge in God than to trust in people. Far better to take refuge in God than trust in celebrities. Hemmed in by barbarians, in God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. Hemmed in a loving way, of course. Hemmed in and with no way out. In God's name, I rubbed their faces in the dirt. Like swarming bees, like wild prairie fire, like hemmed me in. In God's name, I rubbed their faces in the dirt. I was right on the cliff edge, ready to fall, when God grabbed me and held me. God's my strength. He's also my song. And now he's my salvation. Hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. I didn't die, I lived. And now I'm telling the world what God did. God tested me, he pushed me hard, but he didn't hand me over to death. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. This temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Salvation now, God, salvation now. Oh yes, God, a free and full life. Blessed are you who enter in God's name. From God's house we bless you. God is God. He has bathed us in light. Festive the shrine with garlands. Hang color banners above the altar. You are my God and I thank you. Oh my God, I lift your praise. Thank God, he is so good. His love never quits. They just threw that down, like right in those guys' faces. They're like, the God of Israel, you killed him. You did exactly what the prophet said you would do. The one who was supposed to be the cornerstone from which all was the foundation for all things, the foundation for life, for salvation, for the life after this. You killed him. You disregarded him. And now God raised him from the dead and is making him the cornerstone. That's awesome, right? This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. See, that's the Holy Spirit, because the fisher just like turned theologian on them, right? And Bible scholar. He just pulled this out of his hat, quoting like three scriptures in Isaiah, Psalms, and a couple other places like that that talk about this. Amazing. And then verse 12, he went on to say, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let me just tell you something about that. No name given under heaven. I saw this in a commentary. I didn't think about it. See, you and I were not living in Israel. Maybe some of us have descendants from that area. Maybe some of you actually have lived there before, but this God, this salvation was open to everyone under heaven. Not just us, but our enemies and allies and those throughout the world under all of heaven. Right, Brittany, that's why we have to go. Right? Yeah. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. Let's just hide what God has done. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. Threw it back at them. Basically, we would say he just got served, right? Like, no, you just got served, man. Right back at him. Okay, well, we'll just leave it up to you if you think it's better that we would listen to you and ignore God. But, and then he goes on to say, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. I love this line. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Have you got this truth? It's awesome. And if you had the whole Bible memorized, that'd be pretty impressive. It could be a really useful tool. But that's not what God's called you to do. It's this. For we cannot but speak. I can't, Jamie, I've got to tell them what we've seen and heard. You've got to tell them, Jim, you've got to tell them what you've seen and heard, and Randy, Kip, and Emily, you can't. So if that's true, because I feel like this is what maybe I felt, and I can't help but tell them what I know. I can't help but tell them what I know. That's sort of, I feel like, the message that maybe we can get confused on. And so if I tell you that, what's your goal? What's your goal? If I say, you've got to tell them what you know, what's your goal? Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, let's go purely logical here. Let's throw away all church stuff. If I say, okay, the power is when you tell people what you know, then what are you going to strive to do? To know more. Okay, does that make sense? So what kind of things would you do to know more? You'd study, right? And our Bible studies would be like, okay, let's put a guy up here on the stage who knows more, and I want him to give me information so that I would know more. Right, it's back to the illustration. It's like, I want to know the Greek and the Hebrew, and all these things are not evil or bad, don't get me wrong, but you are not accountable to tell them what it is that you know about the temples and the feasts and the heritage and the law, and I memorize all the scriptures because these guys who killed Jesus memorized all the scriptures. Okay? I'm not trying to dog on you if you memorize a lot of scripture. That is great. But if you have no experience, if you have not seen or heard anything from God, what can you share? Only what you know from a really non-personal, cold, 10,000-foot view. So instead, when I look at that, that's when the Lord popped out. I'm like, I see it, Lord. See, you and I, what I have to do for you guys is try to encourage you, not only in knowing more information, but more importantly, that you would see and hear God. And then you would know that your command is to be a witness, not a teacher. Some of you are teachers. Some of you have gifts that are prophetic. Some of you care and serve. Some of you, right? We have all these gifts that we work together. But all of us, our goal should be to see and hear what God is up to. And then we become that weird word witness. It's not a class at church. It's not a class at church. Discipleship, it shouldn't be a class at church. It's learning from one another, walking life together. But this is where we've gone so wrong, guys. This is what's next. Not to dog on everything that we've done before this time. Because what's cool, the way that God does this is for anyone that's had this experience, as you begin to see it here, he brings what you know to support it. Is it true? But that's what they're saying. Peter and like, we can't help it because we've seen and we've heard. And then the Holy Spirit tells us, reminds us these things, because these boys too, even though they were fishermen or uneducated, at some point in time, they were exposed to the scripture. And they'd spent 3 years from Jesus, who knew the scripture really well. And the Holy Spirit had brought it, whether he brought it to the front of their mind, it was already stored in there as a memory, maybe, or maybe he gave it them fresh. He could do either one. And those of you who have eyes and ears will hear this. This is where we should be focused. That we would know God more and more, that we would submit to him more and more, that we would get everything out of the way, that we could hear and see what he's up to. I mean, our simple prayer itself is a conversation. It's a relationship between us and God that involves speaking and listening and stillness and motion. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. Well, geez, Will, it'd be really great, man, if God was like making cripples walk and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's not even for me to get into today, but I think when we see and we hear and when we surrender, the Holy Spirit's going to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I would tell you that some of these things are still happening. But not as much in our midst, or not as much that we can see, because we're like, well, it was the chemotherapy that made the cancer go away, right? Maybe not. Or, you know, also, we can go down a big rabbit trail with faith and prayer, but let's know that it's not ours to wait till God comes back to end the world. It's ours to do what he's called us to do, and that is to be witnesses. In order to be witnesses, we must see and hear things that we can tell people about. And then we're called to do it together, not just alone. And so that's what we do, and we hope that our culture would be transformed. We hope that God's wrath would be put off because he would see a transformation amongst his people, and there would be a revival. And if there isn't, that's fine, because we'll be ready, even that much more ready for him to come back. And then they said this other thing, guys. This is the thing that really, really, really lit a fire in me. Verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I read that like 1,000 miles an hour, right, since I was a kid. I just read that. Yeah, sure, Jesus, yeah, it's God, right? Jesus, one God. I just assume that. But as I come before the Lord, and it's like, Lord, here, I ask you right now, Lord, search us and know us, because I believe that even though our mouths would speak that there is one true God and that Jesus is Lord and that he is our salvation, that we have gone most of the days of our lives dependent on other things for life, looking to other things to save us, looking for other things to give us life. And forgive us. So, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of all of us here, that we would be willing in our time of reflection to come before you and see if maybe there isn't some kind of other hope that we're holding on to. Okay. I looked up the word for salvation. It said this, right? The salvation, I looked in the Strong's Dictionary, the original language here. One of the meanings for that can be a saving from grace, but the other one is protection from molestation. Protection from molestation. Now, when you think molestation, you think it in terms of sexual, but understand, at the time when this was written, there's been some changes in our English language, right? Fair enough. Okay, but originally, molestation has a different meaning, and check this out. The original, they said the dated meaning, is the action of pestering or harassing someone in an aggressive or persistent manner. And so when that is done to someone sexually, it's called molestation. But the original meaning wasn't that. Because Because you and I, we look at that word salvation, guys, and I'm convinced that we're thinking, cool, that's like the heaven ticket, right? Salvation, boom, boom, just right, that's the heaven ticket. I got the heaven ticket. Cool. So this doesn't have anything to do with me. I believe. I'm good. And then you suffer. I would bring to you in confidence that all of you are victims of that type of molestation. Whether it would be sexual or non-sexual, right? There is an enemy. There is sin of other men and women. There is a weakness. There is a failing. And you and I are being molested by the world around us. So really what this is saying is those things, the pestering, the domineering, out of your control, the things that are haunting you and smashing you and beating against you. You got those? I do. There's only one way through that. Salvation, right? Yeah, Jamie said it. Salvation is the deliverance from that molestation. Guys, he's so much more. I don't mean to minimize this, so forgive me. There's so much more than what happens after you die at stake here. Because let us not forget, there are scriptures in the Bible that say things like, some people will be like, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I don't even know who you are. There are scriptures that say people perform miracles in his name and then they are like not known to him because they didn't see or hear. They don't know. They're not a witness to anything that God did. They just know about him. So as your pastor, I sit here and I can't be certain that even one, I'm not certain that all of you have even come to a believing faith in God that would save you. But even more than that, I'm not so sure a lot of you ever even look to God to deliver you, to protect you from this molestation that's continuing to happen to you, that you're doing to yourself, that other people are doing to you in this world, that our culture does, that the enemy does, that self-hatred and fear and anger and addiction is doing to us, the pestering, the domineering, and there is only one hope, only one way through that, and that is Jesus. And that's what Peter was saying. You guys don't get it, man. The Romans, they're pestering you. Your sins, your laws, legalism, all these guys who have made a living and a status off of keeping you down. You are being completely abused. And there is only one way through. And his name is Jesus, and his title is Savior. I'd be a lot more comfortable if it said there is salvation in him and some other things, right? Because that's what I try to do. Like whatever your problem is, you want to do Jesus and. I mean, you're doing good. You know, applaud to you if you're doing Jesus and, because that's a great step, right? Okay, Jesus is involved in it, but Jesus and this trick, Jesus and this manipulation, Jesus and money, Jesus and health, Jesus and, you know, social status, Jesus and my appearance, Jesus and. And we hear that preached, rightfully so, because we muffle the power by blending him with other gods, as it were. So let me make sure that I'm being clear here. Okay. If the doctor's like, lose 30 pounds so your heart keeps beating, I'm not saying you don't lose weight. Oh, just Jesus. I don't need to lose weight. I'll just pray at McDonald's. Okay? Okay? You know, there's an addiction. You want to stop that. Is it wrong to get help with counseling? But Jesus is the Lord. He is the source of salvation. And he may save you by helping you lose weight. He may save you in chemotherapy. He might save you, right, through medical procedures. Like, he can do that. He is God. But he is our hope, not those things. It's all the order, right? It's all the order of things. Okay? And so we want to, because it's hard even for me to communicate, even if that's in my heart, I'll say something and then you guys will run. Well, yeah, we should have, like, no vaccinations, we're never going to the, we're not eating kale, nothing, you know. We're not going to do any of that because the Lord's going to make it right. Sometimes the Lord might say, eat some kale, it's good for you, right? Sometimes. He never says that. Blasphemy, I just committed blasphemy in front of you guys. So there is salvation under no other name. Here's the other claims that Jesus made, and we're gonna go to prayer. He said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matthew 7:14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. John 10:1. Here, let's bring that back into Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hey, worship team, would you guys come back forward? Sometimes we can get lost in so many words. And so here are the Lord's heart for you. Quite simply, the message that I bring to you guys today, as someone who loves you and prays for you and is learning this himself, is this. Know that we live in a world that's not our home. And so as you go out from here today, the reason that you would find conflict and opposition and confusion is not a surprise. It's not a surprise. You didn't take a wrong turn necessarily. But because of Jesus, we can see and hear in the midst of all of that the good news. And when we see and hear that, we should be able to not help but share what we've seen and heard. But probably the most important thing, guys, because the stuff that makes this cloudy, I mean, all that is true, but if I just give you that and you walk away, at best you might have a couple sentences that you remember from today. But here's what I'd invite you to do. This is awesome because we have the lights down, right? We love music, and so there's going to be some music that plays in the background here. And so I'm gonna begin praying, and we're going to go right into the song. But I would invite you to do what I'm going to do, is come before the Lord here with my hands raised and say, I believe that there is only one way to be saved from all of this. Only one way to have a hope. Only one way to have joy. And that is Jesus. So, Lord, I surrender now, and I ask you to show me in my life how does that look, and what do I do, and where do I turn? But I just sit still before you to see and hear your goodness. Okay? Let's do this, Lord. I hear your words. I believe the scriptures are true. And I hear that word molestation. And once I jump back a little bit from the connotation in my mind, I know that there's been this abuse that we've encountered because of sin, because of the fallen world, because of our enemy, because of the darkness in our world. I know that it breaks your heart, Lord. I know that you want us not to contribute to it, to not participate in it, but instead to come before you, to be delivered from it. And there's only one way, Lord, to be delivered in that, and that is in you, Jesus. And we haven't always been modeled what it is to be in you. And so today, we just stop. We just stop doing. I'm even going to go to my knees because I can't walk somewhere to get you. But you are here, Lord, and you are alive and well in me through the Holy Spirit. My prayer is this, Lord, that as we sing, as we hear this music, as the pressure and the fear melts away, I pray against fear. I pray against uncertainty. I pray for your peace. I pray for your clarity as you minister to each one of us, Lord. And I invite anyone who needs someone to pray with them that they would come forward and that I or one of the elders would be here for them to do what it is you ask us to do, that we would see and hear and follow you afresh, Lord. Hear our heart, Lord.
Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's